Good morning. I'm just going to set up. I'm going to get Monica on and we will be right with you. Monica, I just sent you. Hello, Stephanie. Hi, Monica. I just sent you a request to join. Hey,
hi.
Good morning.
How are you?
I just realized I was talking. I just realized I was talking without my headphones. Awesome.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, good. Hello, everybody.
Good morning, people. Happy Thursday. The sun is out.
It is. In Canada, it's out. That's spectacular for all of us.
Hopefully, it's here to stay.
Yes, hopefully.
So, before we get started, I just want to say a few words. So, Monica will let you know how she works and the work that she does. And you all know her also because I've done work with her. And let me tell you my experience. I always relate it to, it's like peeling an onion. So it's layer by layer by layer until you get to that core of what you need to unpack. And is it always easy? Nope. You can ask her. I'm always like, I always have Kleenex, tears, water. But the weight that you feel lifted afterwards is just incredible. So I want to thank you, first of all, for that.
You're very welcome.
You help us see things in a completely different light. And I think that's what we need. And what prompted this live and this conversation was we had both seen a post on Facebook. And you know how I'm a very big advocate on mental health, bullying, you know, changing.
So am I.
Yeah. And we're very aligned. And we both agree that things need to change because clearly something's not working. And there's too many kids that are suffering, trying to take their own lives. We clearly have to acknowledge that whatever practices are in place right now are not working.
Definitely not working.
And we just need to find a way. How do we get through? How do we start? How do we get into these schools and say, listen, let us come in and talk? It can't be a one day pink shirt day, a one day mental health, or 1 week. It's mental health week. No, it has to be ongoing work and conversations amongst us all. So that's what prompted this conversation. So I'm going to let Monica give you details on how she works.
Let's start first with what we just discussed.
Okay.
We train our kids in exercise, right? They do gym once a week, twice a week, three times a week. I don't know how many times they do exercise, and it's important. But we have no training at all in how to deal with our emotions, how to deal with our mental programming, how to feel. Like most people, I can say most people, are in their heads. Nobody is really living inside their body.
Absolutely.
A lot of things, trauma, a lot of things happen. Trauma is just anything that's happened to you that has affected your life. It stays stored in the body. It's energy that gets stuck in the body. And with time, the more you pile it on, the more mental health happens, illnesses happen, different things happen. But we talk about mental health, we talk about emotional health, but we don't give tools. It's just a concept we talk about. We're constantly talking about this concept called mental health. And I go to all these talks and lectures and I hear it's all about disease and kids having this and kids having that. And it breaks my heart because there's nothing wrong with these children. They've never, ever learned the tools. There's nothing wrong with us adults. There's nothing wrong with any of us. We don't have tools. We're thrown in the deep end. And we have anger. We don't know why it's where it's come from. We don't know why we feel sad. And we're told at homes that or at schools, don't feel. Mm-hmm. Anger is a bad emotion. Frustration is a bad emotion. So we suppress it and we suppress it and we suppress it and we suppress it. And what happens? We're now living a life that's not ours. We're making decisions that don't feel right to us. We're going through depression. We're going through all this stuff. When if we had taught this at young ages, at schools, teaching basics, which is what I do. I train people on mental and emotional health. I train you. Like, it's so easy, the tools we can give our kids. A paper and a pen is all they need to go, I'm angry. Here's my paper. Why am I angry? This happened, this happened, this happened. They learn to speak to themselves. They learn to communicate and hear their own voice. Art, painting. I mean, a lot of you follow me on social media, see that I'm always releasing emotions through art.
And I write.
Right. But sometimes we don't know what it is that we're feeling. So just painting without words makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Why we're not teaching our kids this, the epidemic is huge now. And we're still talking about it as a disease instead of training.
Well, we are training, but
kids on what this topic.
In the schools, what they do is, which drives me bananas, is the zones of regulation. So kids learn, it's green is yay, great, it's great. But if you're in the red zone and you're angry, bad, not good.
Okay, but anger is the best indicator of what's going on. If you use anger in a good way, it fuels you to be an activist, to be a lot of different things.
Spicy like me when it comes to Mateo.
You have to see me. Okay, my anger, when it's put in a good place, I get a lot done.
Yep, I agree.
And it also is your GPS that tells you, you go in that direction. This is something that's important to you. So if you have that anger that you can hone it and use it in the right way, you've now discovered where the thing is that fuels you.
Yes, but that's what I think is missing in the schools, is that they're being taught to suppress that.
Okay. So, you know what we were talking about before, or we'll go back. Actually, let me just go back and tell people who I am. Because now I'm going really into the conversation. So, I'm Monica. I'm an intuition and trauma coach. Why do I say intuition and trauma? They don't sound like they go together in any way. But trauma is anything in your body that you haven't, that's hurt you and you haven't released it. So we must clean it out. And intuition is our inner voice. So if we listen to it, you have your GPS tells you what's good for you, what's not. An energy healer I am too, that cleans out the stuff. I teach you, I train you on it. And an emotional and mental health trainer. So they all go together. We must clean up the old programming, the traumas, the everything, in order to hear our own voices. So if young kids learn this at a young age, the artist that has artistic talents, but we're forcing them in schools to do math and science and stuff that doesn't fit them, and they have a programming from their young age saying, I'm a loser. They grow up to be losers in their minds. They attract the wrong things over and over again because they have that programming that said, I'm not good enough.
And I think it comes down to also teaching, because everything starts at home, right? And I find a lot of parents don't allow their children to be who they are.
But
exactly who
they've never learned it.
So
it's
like a cycle that hasn't been broken.
Generational trauma is what I call it.
Yeah.
So you can't blame the parents because, again, you've never been taught this. So you're learning from what you learned. And until we start bringing in a new system where schools start or wherever, homes start, but the parent needs training and the parent doesn't know that they need training. I didn't know I needed training until I hit rock bottom and then things started to change.
Yeah.
So we don't know about this work. We know that there's an epidemic. We know that there's a lot of suffering, but we're taking it to be a very bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just waking us up to where there is a struggle.
And where we need to help that struggle and try something new.
And the struggle could be, okay, instead of labeling the kid having this and that and this, what is it that this child is struggling with? Take the symptom. Yeah. So a lot of the time, it's low self-esteem.
Especially these days.
So let's take the bully and the bullied. Take the bully. He didn't just become a bully. Every child is born the same. Mm-hmm. It's the circumstances of his life that have caused him to become a bully. So taking the child and seeing what's going on, instead of saying you're a bully and now you've labeled this kid a bully. I've coached bullies, I've seen bullies in my own life, and I see what happens. They might have been bullied at home, but they can't speak up at home. So then they come to school and they pick on the innocent, the weaker kid.
Yeah.
Also, they might be struggling at school and finding that they don't know how to express themselves. So the only way to express it is through anger. I've taught a child that was a bully, but she didn't speak great English, so she was struggling and being made fun of. So she had to find her way until she became better at school, and then the bullying stopped. So bullies are picked on.
They I know.
Don't yeah. just become bullies.
Because I've talked to a lot of people are saying, well, you don't want consequences. I'm not saying we shouldn't have consequences. Every action has consequences. But have we ever sat down with a bully and talked and saying,
I actually have, because it's a bit personal, but I wanted to know who this child was, how he became. Yeah. So I befriended the parent to see this kid and what was going on. And it was a home issue, the father. And it's not always a home issue. Sometimes it is a school issue when you're told all the time that you're not good at school.
Absolutely.
And you're labeled as on your file that this kid is a troublemaker.
Yeah. And
And it's each one, it's a different case for everyone. So instead of us saying, oh my God, we have a bullying issue or we have suicidal issues, we need to teach in schools and get to know this kid, both sides. The other kid that's being bullied, we have to train them in self-confidence.
Yes.
Because they don't pick on the strong kids. They don't pick on the self-confident kids.
And that's why I always tell parents, you have to make your kids self-confidence bulletproof. That regardless what anyone thinks of them or says about them, they'll walk away knowing who they are and being confident in who they are. But I think these conversations are not happening.
It's not happening. We're just laboring, and then nobody's helping these children. No. There's no help. Like, this child comes home, maybe his parents protect him. Overprotecting your children is the worst thing you can do. You're not teaching them the skills. There must be skills that are taught to every child so that you don't come in as the mother or the father trying to protect your child. Your child, when we overprotect our children, been there, sure we have been there,
yep.
We are not teaching our kids resilience. Okay? So anxiety is coming from kids not knowing what decisions to make. You understand? They have never had, like, why do a lot of kids from high school to CJEP and stuff have issues? Because they've been told they need to be this, they need to do this. Their parents have helped them in school. They've helped them in everything. So now they're thrown in the deep end.
Yeah.
You're thrown in the deep end and you're thrown in the deep end, but you have no tools.
And why are we not... I guess my question is, why don't we have these tools? Like, why don't we not feel it's important to have these tools in school?
It's a question I ask myself every day.
My son has a life skills class, which I love. And I kind of compared to when I was in school and I had home economics. And we were taught.
Life skills is very vital. But what are life skills? You need to know about finances. You need to value finances. You need to value money. A lot of kids don't value money. You also have to learn how to feel your emotions and use them in a productive way. I'm going to tell you, I was speaking at John Abbott a few weeks ago, and there was a young girl who said, I'm broken. How can I be fixed? The pain that a child thinks she is broken, she was a teenager, and she's broken, which she must have heard through schools, through whatever, and in her home. And I had to say, there's nothing wrong with you. We need to delete this programming, and we need to start. Yeah. There are tools you can learn. Yeah. Why are we making kids to feel bad? We're labeling them all kinds of things.
Yeah, I have this conversation a lot with others, and even with parents. I always make sure I say, be very careful how you speak to your children. Do not label. And I know what that feels like because it was done to me as a kid.
And me too.
I was always the smart one. Well, guess what that did? It made me the perfectionist. Okay. It made me.
The weird one.
I was, you know.
So, you know, weird is taken out of context now. Anyone who's different to the system,
yeah,
who's artistic, who's intuitive, these are the skills of the future. Do you understand that the new world needs these creative kids? Yeah. Yet because we don't fit into the system, we are now told this and we're labeled. Dear God, why don't you let children just be themselves and show?
Because it doesn't fit into what the world thinks your children should be. And it's in this little box and what's accepted. Change. See, we have to shift on, stop caring about what society thinks you should be and just be who you need to be.
And then we throw our children into the mix and we're like, they must look a certain way and feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And now these kids are struggling inside. They can't speak about it because they don't fit in and they've never fit in. And they're like, I don't know if I fit into my family, but I have to stay in this family because they're my tribe, if you want to call it.
Yeah.
So nobody's teaching kids or adults, like now it's really bad with the depression and the anxiety and all this stuff. So we're not teaching tools to feel.
No.
But we're told not to stop, right? So we're always achieving. But if we stop to hear the voice inside of us, it will give us all the answers.
But I think that's also because, and also on social media, I see it a lot and it drives me bananas with this hustle. And it made me dislike this word with a passion because it's kind of forcing everyone to say hustle. No, you have to do 24/7 and push through and be positive 24/7. No, you don't have to be, you can have bad days. Like yesterday was a mentally
heavy day.
We're meant
to have bad days. Like we all have bad days, but we start beating ourselves up because we've had this bad day because we're supposed to say it's so positive.
Yes. And it's funny, but now I'm 48, so I learned it later on.
Me too.
It's okay. I'm like, you know what? Today was that day and I rested. And that's what my body and my mind needed. And you realize the next day, you're like, wow, I really needed that. And
but
that's
rest
what I want.
Equals lazy.
Well, that's what they see. That's the thing. You know, rest, crying equals weakness. Being vulnerable is being weakness. No, these are all strengths. It's when you become even stronger, like digging deep in and really owning my boundaries and saying no and deciding, hey, I'm not going to take this anymore. I want this.
Exactly. But when are we taught? We are taught we need to be good girls. We need to be pleasers. We need to be polite. I mean, I'm not saying not to be polite, but at the end of the day, we're taught that it's about sacrifice and giving our kids and giving our husbands and doing everything for everybody. No one's taught to refuel.
Yeah.
Like how can you give from an empty tank if you're on overload, if you're depressed, if you're tired, you're exhausted? What kind of energy yeah. are you giving to the world?
The expectations on our young girls and women are all of that. And then you have our boys who are taught, well, you have to be like
strong,
you know, and don't you dare cry. And don't cry. Don't show fear and don't show this and don't do that. And you're like, what? Why? Why? And then you have all these emotionally stunted adults. Exactly. And that's right. Who don't know how to express.
And then you wonder why divorce is happening. And you wonder why all these things
are happening. No one's communicating.
And they call it midlife crisis. There's no midlife crisis. I call it midlife awakening. You reach a stage in your life and you're like, this is not working.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some people go buy new cars, buy all the stuff. But really, the whole point of this is to go, okay. This doesn't resonate with me. This doesn't resonate with me. This doesn't fit. It's like a computer programming. We're going to delete the files that don't work for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And upgrade to 2023.
I think
and
we.
And what does?
I but think we don't need to
talk like that. It's yeah. like we're talking now. It's simple.
Yeah. I think we make it more complicated.
It out to be complicated.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you have a class in school that teaches you how to feel? Teaches you how to connect to your body and write it out when you feel sad. And the best, we're in a society that, especially in the Western world, which is I've compared between both,
yeah,
it's a lonely society. We're not connected to each other. We are connected now online, but we're the loneliest society because we have friendships, we don't have deep connections. So you go out with your friends and you're like, hey, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? Deep down, you're like in the worst place in your life. Yeah. But we're putting on masks that say, yeah, I'm doing very well. Yeah. And then when you do talk about these topics, they have got no idea what to do with you.
Yeah,
she's a bit emotional. She's a bit sensitive. What's the deal here? I don't know. We've never been taught to know how to deal with grief, with sadness, with joy. Like, these are very high energy emotions.
With being comfortable with ourselves and who we are and what we want out of life. And that's something that I think our young kids are missing. I think they're just following paths that the parents want for them or that society dictates is, this is, you know, a good path. This is going to make sure that you have a good future. No, it's not.
But
it's
who about, says it is? Maybe for you, being a lawyer was a great decision, but your kid is not that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I changed.
And we force them.
I mean, yeah.
So what I've seen is a lot, when the parent does the work, it changes the children.
Yes. It really does.
And
it
I
really
think
does.
A lot of people are starting to do the work. But it has to translate down to it being learned now.
And it has to also be consistent in our schools.
I really believe that. Schooling, I see it regularly. It is very sad.
Oh, yeah. I used to supervise a second grade class at a school. Second grade, so they're 8. Do you know how many of these kids had anxiety about failing a class?
Imagine.
I worked with the
maternelle, like the 5-year-olds. And I saw kids with OCD. And nobody noticed them because they were the good kids. Okay? They didn't see how intense a person got when the chair moved from one place to the other. But because they were doing great at school, we don't care.
Yeah.
But the kid that's hyper, we now have had the teachers in, the social worker in. So we've already labeled that child as hyper, not good. Hyper equals not good. But he's a 5-year-old. He might want to move around in class.
But that's the problem. How did we go from when I was young, kindergarten was play, move around, go outside, explore, to sit in your chair for 5-6 hours and don't move. And when I tell you to nap, you have to nap. And when I tell you to eat, you have to eat. When I tell you to go to the bathroom, you have to go. Like, who thinks this makes sense? I have calls from parents whose kids are in they're 3 years old in daycare. Oh, my daycare is being like really negative with my son because, you know, while they're trying to sing a song, he walks away. Yeah, he's three.
Yeah,
he's three.
But
where? Why are we? You know what it is? Also, I feel the expectations are so high. And developmentally.
I feel so sorry for these children because really there's too much pressure.
So much.
And it's, you know, the world is fast now. Mm-hmm. It's so fast, especially with social media. It's fast.
Yeah. And that's another, you know, I know social media is not going anywhere.
No.
And it's good for.
I love social media. I mean, it's social media reaches people.
Yes.
But it also makes you look at other, I mean, my kids don't have that social media. They're not into all this stuff. They barely use it for things. Yeah. But I know that young girls
and it's
look at other young girls and think, I need to look like this.
Yes, it's a if I can tell you, when eating disorders have to start in fifth grade, we have a problem. I think of myself when I was in fifth grade and I'm like, wow, that didn't even cross my mind. Like none of what we see ever crossed my mind at that age.
No.
And these children, and that's why I tell parents, watch what your kids consume. I know social media is here to stay, but can we monitor? Can we make sure that they know it's a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. It's not what you see. It's a lot of a bunch of photoshopping and filters and fakeness.
And it's very sad.
But have these discussions. And you know, I did this with Mateo and I said, how many have you asked your children, when you look in a mirror, what do you see? Describe yourself to me. And I did this with Mateo. I said, look, what do you see? And of course, being Mateo.
Here's some horrible stuff from
kids. And I was actually happy because he mentioned a lot of things like he's a smart cookie and he's kind.
Because he hears it. Remember, we need to instill that in our kids.
We have to also lead by example. You can't just tell your kids, be kind. Well, what does that mean? What is being kind
mean?
They
will not learn unless you show them.
Exactly. So why are we not doing more of that? Why are we not instilling that?
I think people are doing more of that. It's just, this is not like we can one by one change the world, but like, come on, like how much one can change the world?
We have to just.
It has to start becoming in schools, but I don't, unless there's some schools and actual individuals in schools who see the need and I have the courage to bring it into their school system, then nothing changes.
And it's sad because I listened to a report from the Kids Help phone. And they have over like 50 million calls. 50 million. Now we're talking kids ages from 5 to like 20.
Imagine.
Do we not see this as a problem? There's kids literally begging for help. And we're wearing a pink shirt to say we did our due diligence.
Yes. This.
I'm sorry. We did not do anything. We have to have talks. Have them in class. Bring people like yourself, myself. Have this. Have like. Honest, and it, open it, discussions.
And there's one thing that I've noticed that I really, really, really don't like. We talk to the kids like higher than them. I've seen so many professionals talk to the children like they're above them.
Yes.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I try, may not succeed all the time, but I talk to the kids in their eyes.
Yes.
We need to be on the same level as these children. We can't dictate or talk to children and use the word disease. The disease word upsets me beyond. Like, we have to lower ourselves, look in their eyes, see what's actually happening. Why is this without judgmental, without being judgmental? We need to talk to this child, whether it's the bully or the other one, where they feel safe. Because remember, a bully doesn't feel safe. He feels like he may be judged.
Yeah.
So we have to create safe spaces, safe people, where we talk the language of the child. Language. It's very important. I saw it, how they were spoken to, like, Why? Yeah. Who are we to be better than them? We need to be equal to them so we can see their perspective. We need to listen instead of always telling them.
Yes, and that's a big part.
Do like we listen to our children? A lot of people have no idea who their children are.
Well, that second grade class that I talked to you about, a lot of them told me some things. So I told the teacher, I said, just watch out for this. She's there. How did you find out all this information? I said, I spoke to them. I said, I actually sat with them and asked them questions and I built a trust with them. And they knew, okay, she's not here to say, you know, point the finger. She's here to listen.
And also if you're fun and lively and light,
exactly,
and joke with them,
their
and
energy,
have
right?
That, yes. Like, I mean, you have to play. Kids need play. Yeah. So playing with them, reading with them, making them feel like
people are afraid
to. They're important.
You don't have to be like, ugh. Like we go walking and we're listening to music and we're dancing and I don't care who's on the street watching us. Good. I hope you enjoyed the show. Because it was a good one. But just, I think that's what also teaches our kids to not take themselves so seriously in life and enjoy and have more of that joy and that freedom to be who they are. And we always, and I think Mateo doesn't even think twice that he has Down syndrome. He doesn't look at it as like, oh my God, I have this, because it's such a tiny part of who he is. And he's so much more than
exactly.
That.
That's why when I used to run the ADHD support group and I closed it, because I'm done with us labeling a kid ADHD or an adult. We have a lot of different aspects to ourselves.
Yes.
Why do you take one part? And who says this is this is going to define you?
Yep.
That child could have artistic talent, could have, beautiful human being, so many other aspects. Okay, we all have things we struggle with. And yes, we need to work on them. I'm not saying we don't. But we also need to do more of what we're great at.
Yes, absolutely.
So if our child is amazing at art, encourage them. Tell them how amazing they are at this. Because if you're always just saying, you're crap at this, you didn't do well in math, you're terrible at school, this is all they hear.
Yeah. And that's
and then
what
they hear it at school. And then the worst part, you get these emails from these teachers. Your child is not doing this and your child is not doing that and your child is not doing that. So this kid is hearing it at school, in the in the meetings of the parents.
Yeah.
So the parent is like, no, finish. They can't. They're tired. Like all they hear, never anything good from the school telling them that their kid did this.
Yeah.
So this child grows up to feel like he's a loser.
And that's exactly what happened to Mateo this year. It was all that negativity. And luckily for me at home, I blocked it as soon as he came home. And, but that's the poor kid. I'm like, there's no small victories that you have. Like, did you hear your name?
And then they grow into adults that don't see themselves as anything. And they come to me and I have to work through their trauma from their childhood. Yeah. So why don't we just, I know, it's simple to say, but we need to work on giving children both aspects. Instead of this teacher constantly sending about how bad the child did in school, how about saying, you know what? Today he helped in class. How proud I was of him. He took his bag to the back of the school, whatever, anything. Yeah. Give me 2-3 points of what he did well.
Yeah.
And then say, we need support from you on
this. Yeah.
But always only, there's never messages that are, your kid did well. It's like the news. We only hear what crap is happening in the world. We didn't hear about, wow, that guy who rescued the cat from, because no one cares. We focus on drama.
Yes.
Instead of joy.
But it's also expectations, I think, as well from teachers. Like we hold kids to such a high standard where we say, you're not allowed having a bad day. Well, I'm sorry. Don't you wake up on the wrong side of the bed some days? You do. So do kids. Sometimes, you know what? They walk in and they're done. They're tired. They're fed up of
to
sitting.
work 9 to 5. They work 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Like,
it's and you want them to
it's
sit
a
straight,
long school
be
day.
quiet, listen, do your work. You're on the computer all the time. You're, it's just,
they need
whoa,
a break.
Whoa. And I tell
we
them,
go to work
yeah.
and we're tired. Aren't you tired after you come back from work? I mean, and I just want to chill.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay, come on. You're coming home. You have to study. You have to do your, you have to shower. You have to get ready. You have to and they just want to like just hang out.
Yeah. That's why my number one policy though, after school, it's snack and you relax before we do anything, because you're not going to get anything good out of it. You're just going to get a child who's going to be even more stressed and more like,
see this. I don't know. It's like children are not seen as working hard because it's expected of them to go to school. But yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
Some kids, it's very, very difficult for them to sit through the whole day at school.
They all process information differently. So for the child who takes a little bit longer, like Mateo, let's say, who really has to, okay, get all this information, process it, register it. Okay, now how do I put it into action? It's very daunting. And then if you're on him saying, well, you did this and you didn't do this and you didn't do this, do you think he's actually going to want to do extra work for you? No, he won't. He's just going to shut down.
Shut down. So if we could just see kids or anyone, yeah. humans as human, you know?
Yeah.
And say, you know what? If it was my colleague, if it was me, why don't we take ourselves and put ourselves in other people's shoes? Take yourself as a parent and put yourself for a day in your child's life. They're up at 7 o'clock in the morning. They go to school. They come back. Some of them have afternoon classes because also they're struggling with it. And then they come back, let's say, at 4. And now the stuff that they didn't really understand in school, they're going to have to come home and work on.
Yeah.
And now they're bored, so bored of this topic that they're like, they don't even want to do it.
Absolutely.
And then they're called hyper in class. Why? Because if I was doing an accounting course now, I would have fallen asleep in the class. But we're okay being not interested in stuff. But a child is not allowed.
You're not allowed. Well, I mean, Mateo is stubborn. Oppositional.
Okay. So it's the same.
The label, which I love that word.
Yes. No, they label everything. Everything is labeled. Defiant,
yes.
ADHD. Of course, there are some that need to be labeled because, of course, there's things doctors need to know,
yes.
whatever. But how
But don't let it define them.
Yes.
That's the
how
thing.
Can we all be the same when you label that?
Yeah.
Isn't there a personality to this kid? Isn't there a something to this child?
Yeah.
Like, we are all individual, unique humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a journey in this world, if we could just spend time getting to know, if we stood in the other person's shoes, if we stood in our kids' shoes, if we got to know them, like just hang out with them without being the parental authority and listen to this child, you'll be fascinated by what you learn about them.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think that's what we're not doing, is we're not listening.
I mean, we're talking. I get it. We're all exhausted. Do we really feel like hanging out with this kid and listening to the story of what they did in their day? It's not exciting. Let's just be clear. But how do you connect with people if you don't listen?
Yeah, and I think we
same with friendship, same with everything.
We go in there like more on this authority kind of horse that we're on instead of just pulling back and saying, how are you doing? How are things?
And then they say good because they don't want to talk to you about these things because they know whatever they mention is going to be shouted at or be told you need to do this and that. So you're not going in with...
I made it very clear to Mateo. I always tell him, we are always on your side. Whatever you tell us, look at my face. Do I look angry? No, mommy. Perfect. You can tell me what happened. Don't worry. You're not in trouble. And then he'll tell me, oh, mommy, yeah, I did leave class. I said, okay, you know what? It's a little bit unsafe. So let's think about, you know, what if you run into someone that's not so nice or you get lost in the school?
It takes longer.
I said, okay.
It really takes longer.
And then he's like, oh, okay, I get it. Okay, I'll stick to, you know, but he knows in my tone and in my body that she's not upset with me. She's just worried. So she wants to keep me safe.
There is a safety thing.
Yeah.
So I always tell my kids, no matter what you've done, okay, unless you've robbed a bank or something.
there's consequences.
But if you tell me the truth, you won't get punished. Because for me, the truth is everything.
Yes.
I would rather it's one of my values. Honesty is one of my values. And again, it's very important to know your values. Yeah. What you teach your kids, honesty, being punctual, being good human, it's very important that they feel whatever they've done, they can come to you.
Yes.
I mean, you have to teach them right from wrong in whatever is right and wrong in your beliefs. Because again, every culture, every human, every person has values that they believe and respect. Absolutely. Might not be the same values. You and I might not have the same values.
But the core is you want to raise good humans.
You want to raise good humans and you want to feel them to feel safe.
Yes.
In their own body. Yeah. And to have you there where they can come for safety.
Yes.
A lot of parents carry their children.
Yes.
Okay. So when I say carry, I'm talking energetically. We are linked energetically like a cord has never been cut. It is not good for anybody that our energies are linked to each other. We must remove energetically our children from our energy field and have them beside us where we hold their hand. The bigger issue when parents are really exhausted is because they're carrying their children in their energy field. And now everything, every decision, they have to be involved in. No. We must teach them. We have to be, at the beginning, we have to carry them. They're babies, right? You're going to carry them. You have to change their...
Absolutely.
But later on, we have to become their mentors, their advisors. They're holding their hand. We cannot do it for them. The problem is a lot of parents have been doing it for them.
Yeah.
And also we program our kids. And when I say program, it means we are all programmed, right? We're like a computer program. We are told certain things as kids. So we're programming it from our own beliefs and our own insight onto things. So if we teach them what we know, but let them discover the world and see it their way, but hold their hand and help them discover instead of their... You see how the energy is different when we hold the hand of the child and help them on their own journey instead of carrying this kid and telling it, you're coming with me. Your journey is going to be exactly like mine, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And then the parent is exhausted because she's carrying her child. And now she can't cut the cord with her kid. So she can't do her own thing in the future because she's now too involved. Her kid's already moved on and she's already carrying this kid in her energy field.
I think we have to let our kids make the mistakes that they're going to make in life.
We don't own them. Many parents think that they own their children. Yeah. We don't own our children. We are given them as a gift for us to help
nurture and
help
raise
them fly.
And grow. Yeah.
I'm meant to hold on to them.
No, they have to, you know, grow their own wings and discover the world for themselves with our help. And knowing that, you know what, I always have mom and dad or whoever is there for you in my corner, I need them.
Of course.
And that's, you know, that they always know, they will have my back regardless.
Exactly. But we can't go to university. These kids can't go to university thinking, what would mom do? They have to go to university saying, what feels right to me?
Yeah,
but we don't train them. We do not train our kids on listening to their inner guidance.
No, because we never were taught that for ourselves. So we're passing that.
And
on.
Trust me, I learned it at a very late age in my life.
Me
and
too.
Because of crap that happened in my life.
Me too.
Honestly, I would have kept living the way I was if nothing had happened in my life. It was comfortable, right? Not that comfortable. But sometimes if it's not too uncomfortable, you don't make changes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, it was more Mateo.
For me, it was going through moving to Canada, divorce, all this stuff. So it made me have to break down and restart my life, right? Yeah. And I had to start saying, okay, this is not working. This is working. And then I went on my journey and was able to gather up all the information now to put it in a place that makes it easier for other people to do it, you know? Yeah. But I see it's so important. And I really, all I can say is, I hope whoever's listening hears what we're saying. We're not judging anyone.
Yeah.
We're all in the same boat.
Trust we're all figuring it out.
Figuring it out.
We're all work in progress. We don't have all the answers and we don't pretend to.
I mean, really, to our houses during some days of the week and you're like, woo! Really? She's trying to help us?
Yeah, if you would have seen me yesterday.
You know? But all I can say is, this is what I've learned on the journey. Some days are not easy, in any shape, form, or whatever. And some days, okay, you go back to listening. And it is exhausting, the whole doing the healing journey. But guess what? I'd rather have be totally aligned with who I am than living a life where I have these masks on and I'm pretending to be something I'm not.
Yeah. And that's...
It made me sick being someone I'm not. You know, so I would rather any day be with people and friendships and raise my kids authentically to me.
Yes.
I don't care anymore what other people see as my journey. And that's the key. We care so much about what others think, and it affects our health, affects our children's health. And we're constantly trying to look a certain part. Why?
Yeah. Like, why is their opinion of you so important? You know, and I think that.
But it takes time, and it takes self-confidence, and itself inner confidence.
Yeah, it does. It does, and that's why I think we need to start at a very young age. You know, with cutting out the labels and telling your kids that they're fantastic exactly the way they are, and they're allowed to be whoever they want to be in this world.
And when they do make mistakes,
they'll learn from it.
But for example, let's just give an example. Your kid draws something. Maybe she's 10, 15, whatever. And she asks you what your opinion on it is. You don't need to always say it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You can say, you know what? I like it, but maybe this should be changed here. And you're giving constructive criticism that helps this child grow. So being too much the other side where you're wonderful all the time has now told this kid that you're entitled. You know? So then she gets thrown in the deep end and she's like, I'm not that great.
Well, that's the thing that also that schools do that too, where everyone gets an award and everyone gets this. No, there's sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
So
end story.
Neither way is great. It's a journey. We're going to go up and down. But letting go of the reins of your children a little bit to give them their own perspective. That's why a lot of parents are struggling with what's it called? Teenage years. Because the teenager is trying to discover themselves.
Yeah.
And the parent is going, this doesn't work for me. But if you get to know your teenager and give them the space to be themselves, but hold their hand, they might want to come and confide in you.
Yes.
But if you've always been the baddie in the house and always the rule maker and always the forcing them to do things, child is not coming to you.
Yeah.
And might never ever tell you who they are. And then later in the future, you might find out, oh my God, I didn't know my kid was, I don't know, talented in art or talented in, but they keep it to themselves.
Yeah. But it's, I think sometimes we crush dreams.
Because we crush dreams because our dreams might have been crushed and we don't want our kids to be hurt. So we could do it in a way that doesn't want the child to feel like their hopes are like they're going to be the next Beyonce or whatever.
But I
not be happening.
But I think when they're young, but I think when they're young, it's okay to dream. And when they get older, they may not have achieved that at that capacity, but it could be something within that realm still. Like you said, you're not going to be, you know, the next Beyonce.
But where did I see it? Somebody said, could have been John Travolta. I can't remember. But he was like, I could go into the career my dad wanted for me. Mm-hmm. And I could fail or win. But how about I start putting it into what I want to do? And I could also fail or win. But I'd rather fail or win in something I love.
Yeah.
But we don't teach our children to love stuff.
No, we teach them how to, this is the job you're going to get. You're going to stay there for 40 years, then you retire and you're good. Like, that's your life. And I know it because I was 15 years in IT. And when I left, my parents were like, what do you mean you're what? And I'm like, I'm done.
But
I'm
then
trying
look
something new.
Back, if you look back, like I can look back and I can tell you the things I loved as a kid. Always loved.
Yes.
The supernatural. I always loved astrology. I always loved. Yeah. I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to be Oprah. Okay. So you might not become Oprah, but what you have to look at it and see, what is it about it that I used to love? I loved spreading information and being with people and telling their story. So again, years later, same need, but it might show up in a different aspect. Yeah. So coaching helps me discover people and help people in their journeys. So it's the same core love, but might not be in the same way you saw it as a kid. But there is, we're all given a purpose. We're all given passions that we have that need to be honed. And sometimes it's shut down.
I always wanted to be a teacher.
Exactly. So you're teaching.
Yeah. And I'm in a different and just guiding and helping.
Exactly. So, and there are parts of our lives, like a few years ago, I was not even creative. If you had called me an artist or a creative, I would have told you, kidding me? Never done art in my life. Like, it wasn't something that was big in my life. And then I discovered it as a means of expression. And now I can't see my life without it. So we have aspects that our children and us need to explore. And we need to give us self space.
And let them explore. And you know what?
And also people, like, you might not know someone from another culture. Okay, maybe you've lived all your life in a culture that you don't know these people. But they scare you because you've been told not to hang out with these kind of people. Yeah. So now you might get to know them and see, oh my God, that person's soul is exactly like mine. We have so much in common. But we are told they're bad for us.
Yeah.
Same with a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
When you haven't learned to discover curiosity and discover things, you don't know it.
Yeah. And I think we need more of that. Like, imagine having like just an art class to release, or a writing class, or just anything, just a full
or
on.
Ask a deep question. Yeah. The other day I was in a class and somebody asked, the teacher asked, when was the last time you had a great time at work? Took me back to something that I really enjoyed. So I looked at the different aspects of the job, and what was it about the job that fascinated
me? Yeah.
Being with international people. Like, it was a business setting, But we don't ask the deeper self-awareness. Maybe the environment we're in, maybe the school we're in is the wrong fit for us.
Yeah.
But we don't ask the questions. We just assume it's about us. Instead of saying, this environment doesn't help me grow.
Yes.
This environment is very bad for my child.
Yeah.
But and there's don't ask that. We just immediately assume it's us.
Yeah.
Or immediately assume
we need to change. We need to change. And there's an interesting quote regarding a flower, and it says, if a flower is not blooming, do you change the flower or the environment?
Exactly. So many things to, we went all over the place, but that's what conversation is about.
Yeah.
But if we're going to summarize it, maybe I'll do three takeaways. You want to do three takeaways? Yeah. One, look at your child in the eyes. Get to know them. Two, let go of the reins.
Yeah.
Three, start seeing the good in your life, in your child's life. Those are my three takeaways.
For me, it's number one, it's always letting your child be exactly who they're meant to be on this place, on this planet, because we all have a purpose. Speak to your children, ask them what they feel about themselves, how they see themselves, not how I see you or your friends, or your teacher. How do you see yourself? Describe yourself. And just make sure that your children know that you are always in their corner. They need to know that no matter what happens, you are there and you will always be there to fight for them, to help them fight, to guide them, to pick them up when they're at rock bottom. They need to know this. They need to have that one person who believes in them so strongly, because if we have that, then they will believe in themselves. And that's how you create change, is the belief in ourselves. We have so much power inside of us. So if we believe so strongly, nothing can penetrate. Keep building that, the belief and their confidence. It has nothing to do with what other people think. It's what they think of themselves. That is the most important thing. Most important.
That's the only thing that's going to stay with them, right? What they believe in themselves. Because whatever other people say, it will just, if they don't have that strength, that pillar where they believe in themselves, they will like leaves, they will just go from place to place.
Yeah.
They need to be the tree that is
solid,
strong,
standing,
solid. Whatever people say about them won't affect them in any way, because they know who they are.
Exactly. And they love who they are.
Exactly. And if anyone here is listening and they think, I know somebody in the school system and they can get this information out to the school system, whether it's through us or through anything else.
Yeah.
It's not about selling our services here. It's really about
helping
children.
Yeah.
And even in organizations, this kind of work needs to be,
oh my God,
there's a lot of lots of companies that are struggling with their mental health and their emotional health, and they have no tools to help them.
Absolutely.
So if anything we've said has helped anybody here today and says, you know what, I have a company, I work in a school, I will talk to somebody about bringing in whoever it is, but not someone who calls it a disease. Okay. You need practical tools to help your employees, your students, and most of all, your teachers. They're burnt out to an extreme. They've never been trained, and they have kids.
Yes. Oh, I think. Oh, sorry.
Phone, right? You don't want them to. If you can make a little, how can I say, pebble,
even a dent,
in the world, one person can make a difference. One person can speak to somebody in a school system that school suddenly has,
it'll start a domino
students
effect.
Feeling better, somebody in a company, whatever.
Yeah.
It's very, very important. I hope we reached you and you learned something.
Yeah, and you know, I think we should have more conversations and keep on discussing it and keep on putting it out there so that more and more, you know, it sticks and people start creating change within themselves and within their own little nucleuses in their families.
That's it. We're all doing the work on ourselves, right? We're all doing the best we can, but you can help your community, right? And then the person in your community can help it. This is the ripple effect.
Yes, and that's what we want. That's what we need.
And the very, very important thing before we go is there's nothing wrong with you. If you believe that there's something wrong with you, I'm going to swear, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay? There is nothing wrong with you. Yeah. You just have never learned the tools
to get
better.
And to really really love who you are.
To love who you are. It's as simple as that. You haven't learned the tools. No one has taught you. You've never learned it. You learn it.
Yeah.
Things change. It's as simple as that. But there's nothing wrong with you. Whatever they tell you, just believe there's nothing wrong with you. Because there is nothing wrong with you. We spend a lot of our lives believing there's something wrong with us. I did it for many, many years. And I kept on going thinking that there's something wrong with me. And I understand now, it's just I didn't fit into whatever I was, the environments that I was in and the beliefs and all the stuff. And it's okay to reinvent yourself. That's why a lot of people are reinventing themselves and restarting over again.
1,000%.
Okay.
I did it and happy about it.
Me too.
Very happy.
It's hard work. I'm not going to tell you it's not hard work. But it's even harder pretending to be someone you're not.
Yeah. And staying stuck. Yeah. Feeling stuck.
And having that stuck feeling all the time. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It gets worse. This way, you clean up and you go up.
Yeah. And you live life the way it should be.
Authentically. Yeah. You live it. You attract the right people. You attract the right people. And you feel alive again.
Yes. Big time.
Okay.
Well, so, Monica, thank you so much.
A long conversation.
I know. It's always like, we're always like, we have so much.
But it's good. I think we reached people. I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. And there's going to be more. We have a lot to talk about.
This is just the beginning.
I know. It's the tip.
Exactly.
Have an awesome day. I'm going to save it, guys. Post it. So whoever didn't get a chance to watch.
Okay. That's
Have a great day.
Take care. You too. Bye.
Bye.